This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez. I'm here with Raj Yavatkar, an Intel fellow and director of the Systems Technology Lab. And one of the things that you spoke about, Raj, this morning at the press briefing was you pointed to a number of very practical things that are challenges for chip designers and for computer systems. And I could not help but wonder to myself that these things seemed very practical, very doable sorts of things, but at the same time, wondering if there were profound problems deep down in the design of chips that prevents them from, you know, using power more efficiently, not overheating, you know, identification problems, that sort of thing. So I wonder if you could just kind of sum up, to begin with, what some of these challenges are.
I think if you take the example of the energy efficient platforms, the challenges are both technical as well as business. On technical side, you're right. We have to solve the problem as how to make the chips more power efficient. But if you're using a laptop-like platform or even a handheld, there's a variety of components that are being used at the same time. But many of them might be idle at a time. In today's platform, they all consume power. So one of the things we are trying to see is how we can use what we call fine-grained power management so that you can turn off power to the parts of the platform or different components when they are not being used. One example I have is this example of a self-refresh display. When you are doing any computing or if you're using a laptop-like platform, your display may not be changing at all. So there's no reason for the chips to be driving power to the display if the display itself could take care of refreshing its content. That's an example of a technical challenge that we're solving. But also the business side, we need to work with many parts of the ecosystem, our so-called fellow travelers, to make the power supplies more efficient, more devices more power efficient, and so on. So we are working on both aspects.
There are still folks who are focused on pure raw speed, but it seems to me that that almost is like someone that's still talking about 57 Chevys. You know, they were capable of going over 100 miles an hour, but they certainly didn't last past 90,000 miles. And they used a lot of gasoline, and they were really loud, and put a lot of pollution, you know, out that pipe. It seems like we're in a very similar situation here with chips.
Yeah, I think so. I think going from 57 Chevys to a Lexus of today, the difference is you're not focusing purely on raw performance, but more on performance per watt, or what I call satisfaction per watt. When you use a particular platform, there are a variety of things that a user sees in terms of meeting the user needs. Focusing on all those aspects will allow us to provide the maximum satisfaction per watt rather than just purely focusing on performance or performance per watt.
When it comes to chips, some of the things though, that you've mentioned have to do with acoustics, have to do with heat generation, have to do with you know, a lot of the things that are a part of the computing experience that don't really translate necessarily on the screen, but are a part of the user experience. I wonder if you could describe, maybe in more profound ways, about how these things, when they're addressed, how it'll improve the user experience.
Yes, definitely. I think if you take the acoustics as one example, I think the platform noise is a function of not just a particular user, but where the user is located. If you're in Europe, for example, where people live in a smaller apartments or smaller houses, or even in emerging economies, noise level that's acceptable from the platform differs a lot. And I think as our platforms get more powerful and they require more power, the use of fans can create lots of noise. So one of the things we have been able to see is what kind of new technologies we can apply to the fan technology as well as how the airflow moves across the platform to create, if possible, fanless systems. And that will definitely increase the user experience, especially outside the United States where people are used to living in a very smaller confines, a smaller space.
Is this a matter of technologies that are being developed at higher levels, let's say at the server or at the supercomputer level, and then we're sort of benefiting as users from research up here, or are you actually just honing in just research on the PC level here with, like, say, fan technologies and cooling technologies?
Now, traditionally, I think Intel has tried to bring the technology from the mainframes down to the consumer platforms. But in this particular case, we are very sensitive to the cost factor. We want mechanisms which are amenable to low-cost, high-volume manufacturing. So some of the research we are doing is specifically targeted at low-cost mechanisms.
You also talked about ID technology. And some users, the first thing that will come to their minds is privacy. The fact that, will that mean that each chip out there will have its own unique ID stamp that will also go along with my name so that wherever I surf across the internet I'll be seen or that sort of thing. What kinds of technologies are you talking about and how will that affect privacy?
So we learned our lesson some time back about the privacy in terms of not embedding any identity in our chips, which sort of compromises the privacy of the people. So when we talk about user-based identity, we are using mostly software mechanisms, which will allow you to encrypt the identity and only disclose it to a provider who is allowed to accept that. So the focus is on maintaining the anonymity or the privacy of the user, but still create a unique identity that can be used across multiple devices.
It's a security strategy.
It's a security strategy.
And for businesses, what does this mean?
For businesses, if you're an IT manager, today the workers increasingly are using BlackBerries, pagers, handhelds, cell phones, as well as laptops. They all tend to have different applications. There's a desire to make business applications available on all these platforms. And now they get to manage the access rights or access control of each of the users based on a single corporate identity they can be assigned, no matter which device you're using. So you do not have to worry about viruses coming in or people compromising the integrity of the data when they cross the enterprise boundaries.
How far down the line do you think it'll be before someone is able to look back at today and say, my computer is quite different than the computer that I bought in 2006? Are we talking a year away when we're able to see that, or is it 5 years away?
Yeah, I think it will take at least 4 to 5 years before there's a big transformation in terms of how we use these things. Some of the changes are incremental. I believe that some things like identity will start happening sooner than expected, because people are really concerned about the privacy as well as being able to access data. But some of the other things with respect to smaller form factors, ease of use might take longer.
Yeah. And then this final question, this has to do with one of your new partners, and that is some of the things you're talking about are especially the things that are prized at Apple. If there was someone that's applauding everything you're saying on stage, you know, standing ovation, it's probably Steve Jobs.
Yeah, so we're definitely excited to be able to work with Apple as a partner. But I think a lot of the innovations that we're pursuing in the technology area, we are targeting at a much broader market across multiple OEMs and customers.
So, well, I can imagine you'll not just sell to them.
That's right.
We do expect other OEMs too.
Yeah, but we do expect to work with them to bringing some of this technology to market faster. It will vary a lot from one customer to another. But I think innovation, need for innovation comes from our side in terms of making our platforms really more usable.
Well, thank you so much, Raj, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
I've been sitting with Raj Yavatkar, Intel Fellow and Director at the Systems Technology Lab. This is Podtech News. I'm Jason Lopez.